Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. What is synergy? That's a fun word to say. Synergy. It can sound mystical. But ladies and gentlemen, it's just what we create when we come together with other people. It's the power that we give to other people and that they give to us when we're together. Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Now, some people just say, well, that sounds good. It's mystical. It's interesting. But what does it mean in practical terms? Well, sometimes I just like to use numbers. Okay. So if we were to say what we're powerful to do on a scale of 1 to 10, so we'll say one person is a 3, one person is an 8. Well, okay. Maybe one's a little bit more than the other. But it's not until they come together that they become truly powerful. So 8 plus 3, 11. No, we actually are more when we come together than just the sum of our parts. Now, 8 times 3, that's 24. Ah, but what's 8 to the 3rd power? That's 512. Would you ever think that an 8 and a 3 can become 512? But wait a minute, what's 3 to the 8th power? That's 6,561. Who in their mind would imagine, would conceptualize 3 and an 8 becoming 6,561? Remember, ladies and gentlemen, we have human energy. We are spirits in bodies that become souls, so that when we come together, we empower each other. Yeah, power. Now, see, that's fun. We think about what that means. Power, you know what? Knowledge is power. When we learn things, when we know things, when we apply the things, we become powerful. But now let's take a step back and really think seriously about this. When we have power, that comes with responsibility. You have to be responsible for the decisions that you make when you do things in life, when you do things in the world. Responsibility comes with accountability. Who do you personally, truly in your heart, believe you're accountable to? Some people would say to a higher power. Some people would say to the people around me. How many people would say to themselves, because they have standards for themselves? Certain things that are not negotiable that genuinely show that you care about other people. Okay, you know what? Positive is more powerful than negative. People don't necessarily know that, or they don't necessarily agree with that, because negative is so high impact. Yeah, anger, hatred, and fear, those are very powerful forces in a social context. Think about what's going on in the news. Man, all of the negativity in the news. Anger is now turning into hatred. Hatred devolves into violence. Well, what about positive? How can positive be more powerful than that? Yeah, when we have love and we have hope and we have happiness, that can actually conquer. I'm a very spiritual person, but I am a Christian, and I believe the scripture that says, keep conquering evil with good. The only problem is most people, they don't know the good that they can do. They don't realize the power that they have because they give up. That's the key, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not give up. Let's empower each other so that we come together. What's the best way to conquer? To divide. So thinking about this, I've actually reached out to my connections on LinkedIn. And I, you know what? I don't get on social media, but LinkedIn is a great venue, because the people on LinkedIn are genuinely interested in becoming better people. And their motives and their intentions are high quality. So what I told everybody in the last week is, I'm going to leave the phone lines open for the whole hour, not just on certain topics or themes. Anybody who has a question about being a better quality soul, so that when they come together with other people, they empower them to be better quality souls, not only in what they do, but in how they feel and what they think and what they say. Yeah, okay, this is good. Anybody who wants to call in and ask a question, feel free to do so. I'm going to leave the phone lines open all hour, and the number is 888-622. 627-6008. And I'm getting really excited because I want you guys to know that Don is my producer. He's going to be the one answering the phones. I just want to do a shout out right now to Don. I just love you so much for being an amazing person in my life. You are part of the reason why I have the synergy and the success in my life. Kudos to you, my friend. Which then brings me to my first question. Can men and women just be friends? Yeah. I love you too. That's great. Thank you. Men and women can be friends. You know why? I'll give you this example with my producer. The love and appreciation and respect has no ulterior motive. Sex does not have to be involved in a relationship. That mutual respect and the good conduct, the good intentions, it's about trust. Wow, you know what? I did a survey this week in the city of Everett. I literally went into businesses and said, okay, I want your opinions, your personal opinions. I went into businesses and spoke directly to the employees who were working there. And I asked them three questions. Okay, here we go. The first one, let me pull this up because I want to get the responses and the percentages because this is kind of going to be what I'm talking about also throughout the show. Okay, the first question is, do you respect people that you do not trust? Wow. Okay, so now think about this. I asked this question in Arizona about 2 years ago. Do you respect people that you don't trust? No. In Arizona, they said absolutely not. 70% of people said no. If I don't trust you, that means you're a bad person. Why in the world would I respect a bad person? Do you know what? In Washington, 65% of the people said yes. I said, what? Can you just be, can you expand on that a little bit more? One of my favorite answers, how a man says he actually respects people that he doesn't trust. I'm pretty sure he was from the Middle East. His accent kind of told me that, and his skin color told me that. I love the way they speak English. He said, the way that I respect has nothing to do with other people. It's about honor and it's about dignity. It's about my behavior. So for him, respect is not about how he feels, it's about how he behaves. Okay, so that kind of got me thinking. One of the questions, the third question actually that I asked is respect more of a noun or a verb? Is it more about how you behave or how you feel? For me, I can tell this now because the survey is over. For me, respect is how I feel. I can behave in a respectful way, but that doesn't mean I necessarily feel respect for the person that I'm behaving, right, myself with. Okay, so in Arizona, about 70% of the people say it's about how you feel. Only 30% say it's more about what you do. In Washington, only 20% of the people think it's about how you feel. 80% of them say it's about what you do. Okay, now that brings on the third question. Is trust a gift you give someone the first moment that you meet them until they do something to lose that trust? Or is it a privilege that they have to prove to you that they are worthy? They have to earn it. Okay, you know what? In Arizona, Phoenix, I should be specific here, the city of Phoenix, 65% of the people said, no, it's a gift. I want to trust people and I like to trust people when I first meet them. Only 35% of them were cynical, saying, no, they have to earn it. And I'm not stupid. I'm not going to trust people until they show me that they're trustworthy. Whoa, in Washington, 75% of people say, no, it's a privilege. If you trust people, you know what? You deserve to be hurt. Wow. That surprised me to the point where I had to walk out of a couple of businesses a couple of times because I thought the world that we live in, that people just they don't have the good energy that they used to. They're very afraid of people. And again, ladies and gentlemen, fear is a very powerful force, but you know what? So is hope. And hope conquers fear. So one of the things that I want to talk about that was very important to me as a young girl, that positive being more powerful than negative, that's contagious. It's infectious. A lot of people say because I'm very attractive, I'm physically attractive, and I'm nice, they say, be careful. There's going to be a lot of people out there, especially men. They're going to be violent. They're going to hurt you. You have to protect yourself. I say, no, actually, men respect me and they treat me well because I have that good quality energy. Predators and violent criminals, they prey on people who are afraid and they're defensive and they're suspicious because they know they can take advantage of that negative energy and they can maximize on this. So think about it between coming together and uniting in a force with the people around you in a positive way. Make that energy that you bring to a relationship powerful. And know that if you are that good attitude, that good energy, that happiness and love and hope and optimism, one of two things is going to happen. One, you know what? People are going to want to join you and they're going to like it. And they're going to say, yeah, I want to stay with you and I want to synergize with you and I want to become more powerful. Or they're just going to get annoyed and say, you know what? I don't like you anymore. I'm going somewhere else. And when I was doing some coaching in the shelter down in Phoenix, Cass, it's the shelter on 3rd Avenue and just south of Van Buren on Jefferson, I had a lot of experience there with people who were they were very sick. They were emotionally unhappy. They were mentally unstable. They were physically deprived. When I walked onto the campus, when I approached the territory, people looked at me because I was well dressed, I was well spoken, I was happy, and I wasn't defensive or suspicious or judgmental. And some of them would start screaming at me and swearing at me to get the hell out. And other people would say, wow, can I be with you? Can I just be around you? And I'd say, absolutely, let's talk. What's going on here? And then I would stop and I would listen. Okay, now another principle that I want to share with my listeners today, something that I learned from my father, one of the most important men in my life. You're worth the wait. He would say that to me because I grew up in the 80s where promiscuity was a horrible, horrible social disease. And it was becoming just more mainstream. Everybody was sleeping with everybody. One of my favorite movies is Say Anything. Yeah, they slept together. And afterwards, she said, let's not put things on this level. He's like, wait a minute. He just wanted to say he loved her. No. We can sleep together and we can be friends, but let's not put it on the love level. Well, you know what? My father always told me, if you want to wait for a man, I said, I want to wait until I'm married. He said, honey, you are worth the wait. And any man that is willing to wait for you, yeah. He deserves you. Okay, but ladies and gentlemen, again, that brings up the question of, are you really worth the wait? What's the ROI there, the return on the investment? What he also taught me was you have to be a good quality person to your husband, with your husband. There are a lot of scriptures that I like to quote for people that women can make men miserable. We can be one great big headache. We can be divisive. We can be just frustrating to be around. We can be annoying. We can also be the most beautiful, wonderful thing in his life. So ask yourself this question: are you someone that your mate wants to come home to? And when you take time to take care of yourself, put the mask on yourself first to make sure you don't compromise yourself for anybody else, is it with the intention of being worth what they have made the sacrifice of waiting for you for? What's your mental state? What's your emotional condition? What's your physical ability? When I talk to people, I actually went into a restaurant with my son and my daughter and my granddaughter. And my son apparently knows the owner and says, hi, I wanted to introduce you to my mom. And she stopped and she looked at me and she looked at him. She goes, no, she's too young. You're too young to be mother. You're too young. He said, she's your wife. She should be your wife. And we just both busted out laughing and we hugged each other. And I said, yeah, because I'm young at heart and we have fun together. It is possible to have fun as mother and son, as husband and wife, as male and female friend. Again, the number to call in is 888-627-6008. If you want to ask me any question about friendship, about romance, about business, I'm going to be answering the questions that my colleagues have posed to me on LinkedIn when we come back from the break. 888-627-6008. Let's talk about synergy. We'll be right back. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Now we're talking about synergy today, but everything that has to do with relationships is about what we create when we come together with people. I'll say it again, there's no neutral energy. It's either positive or negative. Now, a lot of people want to get out of jail free and say, well, I don't care. That way I'm not positive or negative. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, wrong. That is not neutral. Neutral energy actually classifies as negative because there is no neutral. If you are not positive, that is by default negative. Okay, I think I'm getting some comments here on LinkedIn because I really do. Again, I think LinkedIn, we've got some great social connection there. We've got some very positive behavior there. I got off Facebook a while back just because the people there, they want to spew verbal vomit everywhere. And you know what? If you're not making a situation better, you are by default making it worse. Okay, so let's just say that. Let's just establish that. Ilana, let's see, I pull up some questions that people ask me. Okay, the first one I actually want to address, very, very important. How can a father and son build a healthy relationship? Now, that's a very general question because obviously when a child is born, it's very different than when he is a teenager. And as an adult, that's very different too. So I just tell people the formula. It's an ART, an acronym, A-R-T. Appreciation and respect and trust. Now, that's what I was talking about in the previous segment about the survey that I did in Arizona. When you have appreciation for people, that builds the foundation for trust. When you trust people, then you can edify respect. You actually create and strengthen your respect. The difference between a mother and daughter and a father and son, night and day. A father needs to build that connection with the respect that he deserves. You know what? I understand that in the Middle East and where my husband comes from in Mexico, respect is how you behave. How you feel doesn't matter. No, you know what? I'm sorry. How a son feels about his father is the key. That's about the real connection that they are going to have in that kind of relationship, in that dynamic. A father has to know how to connect with his son. That is about communication. The respect that a son feels, genuinely feels in his heart, is about admiration, the appreciation that creates is going to establish the trust. The trust is the only way a relationship can last over time because a father is an authority figure, but once they become adults, children become adults, that dynamic does change a little bit because as his independent now, for all intents and purposes, social equal, that appreciation and respect and trust needs to maintain. It needs to go for the life of that relationship. Now, if there are other questions, again, you can go ahead and call in 888-627-6008. Now, this is a question. The next question that I loved that the man asked was, how do you know when it's over, right? In a relationship? Okay, a romantic relationship. Let me just quote the movie again, Say Anything. When Corey is talking to Lloyd. Corey is actually his best friend. She's a woman. And Lloyd goes to her just for a lot of different things, for advice, but for support and social connection. Yeah. One of the things she said to him when he goes, okay, relax. Nothing has changed. She said, Lloyd, wait a minute. Stop. Please know this. Everything has changed. You could be 60. You could be walking down the street. You say, hi, how's it going? What you'll be really thinking is, we had sex. Okay? They don't even have to be in a relationship anymore. When is it over? You know what? It's never over. Once you have a relationship, once you have a connection with someone, you will have a connection with them for the rest of your life. The question is, how do you know when a relationship in a romantic way needs to end? And when it needs to end, how do you know that it is finally severed in that context? Because you're still going to have that connection emotionally, because physically you've actually shared in the most intimate act that embraces your mind and your heart and your body and your spirit. It is over when your loyalty is gone. So that kind of begs the question of, when should it be over? Yeah, okay. Now my husband asked me a question that I'm going to pose as soon as I'm done explaining this. When being with that person has devolved from, this is the best situation I could be in, to the point of, well, this is the lesser of two evils. When a man says, yeah, being this woman is absolutely hell for me, but being without her would be worse. I've always told my husband, I don't want you to feel like I'm someone you settle for. If you feel like you are settling, and you have to be honest with yourself, if you're settling to be with the person that you're with just because not being with them would be worse, you are doing them a grave disservice. My husband actually asked me a question when we were courting. He said, okay, just hypothetically, because we were still in the process of defining whether we wanted to sign up for each other, because we had not slept together. We were not going to do that until we knew that we were both signing the paperwork for forever. He said, okay, so let's just say we've been married for 15 years. The relationship is good. Everything's going good. One day, out of nowhere, I just come home from work and say, yeah, honey, you know what? I made a mistake. My bad. I had sex with a woman. She seduced me. I don't love her. I love you. And I'm sorry. I'm being honest with you. I love you. Please forgive me. Would you forgive me? I said, of course I would. He said, what? He was almost angry that I said that. And I said, yes, I would. He said, why? I said, well, for four reasons. First of all, because you were honest with me, okay? And I really do appreciate that honesty, and I respect you, and I trust you for that. Second, because you don't love her. And you know what? I know men can't control themselves, and they have, no ability to resist a woman because they only think with their penis, because they have absolutely, because that's what I was told. Little did I know that that was complete garbage. Third, because man, if we have a good relationship, yeah, I'm not gonna throw it away because you were stupid. Men are always stupid, which is another lie I was told. Yeah, and fourth, because I love you, because I love you, and it's worth it. If I've actually done the work and you've done the work, love conquers evil. And he said, okay, first of all, you're wrong. Number one, men can control themselves. This is the bottom line. If I have put my body with another woman's body, it means my heart isn't with you anymore. And I didn't even hear the second reason because I was like, whoa, really? And he said, yeah, if I'm not with you physically in that way anymore, it's because I'm not with you emotionally either. And I went, wow, I need to learn about men a little bit more, don't I? A lot of the lies that I was told by mainly feminist women about how men have no self-control. Lie, okay. Men only have enough blood to think with one head at a time. That's a lie. And you know what? Men are all going to be unfaithful. It's not a question of if, it's just a matter of when. That's a lie. Okay, you know what? Marriage is an amazing, good quality commitment because you have to make that absolutely for all eternity. Mindset. Again, when we're talking about how do you know when it's over, it should never be, that should never be an option. If you have that option in the back of your mind, remember when it was till death do us part? It's not till death do us part anymore. You really have to know what you believe. Now that begs the next question that I absolutely love too. How far should a man cede in a relationship? Okay, that kind of begs the same question about when it's over. How far basically should a man surrender? Now, I love this joke. Oh, sorry. Again, if you want to call in, the number is 888-627-6008. One of my favorite jokes, I'm pretty sure my son sent this to me, maybe my daughter. Arguing with a woman is kind of like signing the terms and conditions. In the end, you just everything they say and agree. Okay. You know what? Because it's just easier that way, which kind of goes along with one of my favorite scriptures, which is it's better for a man to sleep alone on the corner of a roof than in a warm, soft bed with a woman who loves to fight. Yeah, you know what? You really shouldn't cede anything past what you're comfortable with. That just means you have to do the work in communication. If a woman is basically saying to you that it's a fight and one of you is going to win and one of you is going to lose, you need to put your foot down and say, no, absolutely not. Which again is one of the secrets. I'm going to share a few of my secrets, personal, that I don't usually talk about on the show, but in a relationship, I give my husband what I call a get out of jail free card, which is, okay, I'm gonna let you win, but you always have to be honest with me that you're with me and that I'm with you. Okay, don't ever lie to me. Don't ever just agree with me to shut me up and make me go away. You have to be honest. It's called I'm sorry once removed. If we're disagreeing and we really and truly have a disagreement that, we're at an impasse here. I don't want to concede. I don't want to cede. I don't want to surrender. And my husband can say, okay, you know what? I'm sorry, but I'm going to make this decision. Most women say, no, you're not sorry. If you're doing it, you're not sorry. I'm sorry once removed is I'm sorry that I'm not sorry because I think this is genuinely the right decision. But my love for you and my love for your feelings and my concern for your well-being and my genuine desire for your happiness means it's hurting me to make the decision that hurts you or that upsets you in some way. Okay, you know what? That's really beautiful. When my husband says, and I don't let him pull this card out very often, no, I'm going to make the decision here. I've got the final say. I'm sorry once removed. I'm sorry that I'm not sorry. So I love you very much, and I'm going to try to make the decision that I've made as least painful for you and as least frustrating for you. And I'll buy you something you want to eat or drink. I have a few of my freebies that I can say to him. All right, you know what? You owe me this now. You're going out and you're buying me this. He's like, okay, you know what? Because you deserve this because you actually let me have this one. Don't ever fight with the person that you love without making that concession to each other that you're gonna work together in agreement. Which is my next secret. We're just going to take another real quick break. When I come back in the next segment, I'm going to tell a few of the secrets of how you can do that, how you can maintain that good energy within a marriage by answering a few more of the questions that have been posed to me by my LinkedIn connections. So, again, the number if you want to call in, 888-627-6008. This is the Power of Synergy on BBS, and I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, and today we're talking about all of the dynamics of synergy. And in different relationships, obviously it's different things, but it's really about what we create when we come together with people. Now, whether it's excuse me, a parent-child relationship, whether it's a professional relationship, whether it is a romantic relationship, there are certain things that we just need to remember about boundaries and about standards that are not negotiable. But the bottom line is We need to work together. When we come together, we are exponentially more powerful. We are capable of doing good or evil. And since there is no neutral energy, we are not ever free from accountability. We have to constantly check in with ourselves and say, what's the quality of my energy right now? One of the connections that I have said, what do you do if your routine, if your daily routine is thrown out of whack? How do you get back on track? Yeah, when my daily routine is thrown out of whack by people who, yeah, they really didn't care what I was doing. They interrupted my vibe and my focus. And okay, how do I get back on track? Well, I do a couple of things. These are just secrets that I'm going to share with people. The first one is I stretch. Now, that's very, very good because it gets my quality of my soul better to a higher level because it does two things. First of all, it gets my blood flowing to the places in my body that are going to get me recentered. But the breathing and the stretching makes me more flexible and more relaxed. When I have the ability to get my thoughts in line with my body, that gives me energy. But the nice thing about stretching, I'll let you know this too, is that I always have three different routines. One is for alignment, one is for relaxation, and one is flexibility. If I get the blood flowing to the parts of my body and I just don't quite have enough energy, it will give me the energy that I need to get back into that high performance level. But if I'm exhausted and you know what, I just really can't get it up and running, but it will put me to sleep. Yes, it will, because if my body does need to relax, stretching will make it happen. So that's the first thing I do. I stretch. And then the second thing I do is I actually do Sudoku puzzles because I'm an INTP and I listen to 80s music. 80s music, well, music just in the 80s when I was growing up was a big part of how I got myself emotionally together. There were songs that were very, very intensely negative, and I could scream while I was singing to Phil Collins' Land of Confusion. And I could also be romantic to Cyndi Lauper time after time. And you know what? I'm almost 50 and I still love that music. When I got to get recentered and got to get myself in a good state of mind, whatever I'm feeling, if I listen to 80s music and I sing the songs while I'm feeling it, that gets the quality of my energy, my mind, and my heart and my body back up. Now, that again talks about what I know is positive energy when I am with other people. Let me ask you this. What do you think is more harmful to people, doing what you're not or not doing what you are? Well, you know what? Make sure that everything that you are is everything that you do, and that everything that you are is high quality. Then you don't have to worry about what you do because it will organically manifest. It will literally become what the people around you are experiencing. So when I have someone who says to me, how do I do the right thing? I say, become the right thing. Again, take care of yourself. Now, when I say to people in my life, you know what? I need a time out here. I need to take a break. Sometimes that's 10 minutes, sometimes it's 30 minutes. They know that it is for the purpose of becoming a better person. When you have the better quality soul, they know that whatever you give them, even if it's in a lower quantity of time, it's in a higher quality of value. And so it's definitely worth it. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, people are worth the wait. They are loving knowing that you are going to be worth the wait as well. See, always have the intention and the motivation to give twice what you ask for. But then that's about being honest. You have to be honest with each other. You have to be honest with yourself first. And this is another very important life lesson my father taught me. I was trying to pull a fast one on him, but obviously, as a little girl with my father, he could see it coming a mile away, right? One day I was trying to lie and he got very serious. Sometimes we would banter, sometimes we would play, and then he would teach me. He actually, this was the first time he got serious to the point of it scaring me. And he said, honey, When you lie to strangers, you're going to lose out on amazing opportunities for great relationships and experiences. When you lie to your friends and family, they leave you because they don't trust you. You die alone. But when you lie to yourself, you start believing your own lies. You don't even know what's real anymore. You don't even have yourself left. It is all over. You can just pack it right up and go home. And then he walked away, and I went, oh my God, he's not even going to yell at me. Okay. And I sat there with myself and said, okay, wow, believing your own lies. You are never more honest with other people than you are with yourself. You have got to be honest with yourself, accept the truth, handle the truth, be good with the truth, because you know that people are always going to give you what you give them if you give them quality in the form of honesty. Yeah, you know what? They're going to be good people with you. One of the questions that a connection posed, should I tell my ex-husband, ex-wife, my ex-girlfriend, my ex about my change in circumstances? You know what? This person took advantage of me. They took all of my money and then they abandoned me. And you know what? I am rich now. Should I tell them about my change in circumstances? Because, man, I am just gonna love throwing this stuff in their face. No, don't tell them. Okay. First of all, because vengeance is never worth it. It's never as much fun as you think it's going to be. But because what really does feel good is when it is an organic discovery, I promise you, this person is going to find out what you did and what you have become. And when they learn it on their own in some random way that you did not provoke or stimulate or create, it's actually going to get to a different place inside of them. Vengeance and hatred, yeah, they're fun to play with. Well, actually not as fun as you think. And when there's the good quality there behind the experience, because your energy is still positive and your motives and your intentions are positive, then that's going to affect this person. It might actually make them a better person. They might learn something from the negativity, whatever it was that that situation presented. Their life might have changed. When they come back into your life, they will have a different mindset than they did when they left you, when you left them. Okay, so now think about this. When we're talking about what is time worth, when you have the power, the personal power to have an impact on people, quality is always more than quantity. It is more valuable. One thing that I like to ask people, just as an opinion question, what is your time worth? Well, sometimes they'll think, well, let's see, my job, I make 30 bucks an hour. So, yeah, but I say, is your time worth more than that? And again, if you have a question, sorry, I keep forgetting to say the number. It's 888-627-6008. I give an example of the time that I take to stretch. I actually look like I'm about 30. I act like I'm about 20 because I take time every day to stretch. That's when I wake up and when I go to sleep and any other time of the day that I need it. That gives me energy and it gives me strength and it relaxes me and it balances my hormones. What I spend in time, let's see, just $30 an hour. That's about $10,000 a year for 30 years I've been married, $300,000. Is it worth $300,000 to look and feel and act the way that I do? Yeah. How much time do you spend doing things with people, to people, for people? Are they good quality hours of time? Or would you rather go to work to make money, to buy an experience or a product for that person so you really and truly don't have to be with them? When my husband and son and daughter and I were talking about my granddaughter, we were having a real problem with her. We said, okay, you know what? We got to talk about this. We made time, 2 hours at a restaurant. We were sitting in a restaurant eating for maybe 15, 20 minutes and then talking for an hour and 45 minutes because we needed to make sure that everybody was heard, everybody understood what everybody was saying, and we came to a concession, an agreement, an understanding that we were all going to support a common goal. Well, you know what? When people work together, they don't take the time to talk. And more importantly, they don't take the time to listen. One of the things my husband said he appreciated most about our family, my adult children, and each other as marriage mates, is that we don't interrupt each other. And I didn't know it meant that much to him because in 30 years, this was the first time he had said to me after one of our family meetings, he said, "I love that our kids don't interrupt each other." And when they do, they say, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'll stop. You finish." They actually let the other person finish. And I just thought that my kids were being nice because they've kind of always been that way. When my husband came to me afterwards and told me in private, "I love that our kids let each other talk. That's why it takes 2 hours to have a discussion." One of the next questions that I was asked by a colleague on LinkedIn was, "What if we have different divisions of our business, of our company, and nobody gets along? We're all doing it in completely different ways for completely different reasons. There is a lot of social friction. There is a lot of business conflict. How do we get together and actually work together, not only in the same way, but for the same purpose, towards the same goal?" You know what I say? Ask questions about an hour of the time that I was spending with my husband and kids to try and work out a solution about my granddaughter was, "But why do you think that is? And what do you think, based on this that I've observed, that would mean? And or what would you want to do about this topic that you don't even know because she doesn't do it when she's with you? She does it with me. First of all, why does she do that in your opinion? And second, how would she respond to you if you did what I think is a good idea?" We literally would talk to each other about all of the different options, but also the reasons. So that means you have to listen twice as much as you talk, but you all have to get on the same page. My question to you, when you asked me this about the different divisions of a company seeming to undermine each other simply because there was no unity, synchronicity to produce that positive synergy to improve the productivity of the company, you have to talk to people and you have to understand who they are. Know who they are. That means, again, ask them questions and, more importantly, wait for them to answer and let them answer honestly. Are they honest with themselves? Do they feel comfortable to be honest with you? That way, you can be honest in return to make that powerful synergy and to produce that positive, powerful effect in the world. When we come back, we got one more break here we're going to take. When we come back, I'm going to answer a few more questions, but really boil it down to what matters the most. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS, and I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. The Power of Synergy. This is BBS Radio, and I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Now, when we're talking about coming together with each other and being honest, yeah, it's important to have that appreciation and respect and trust. I know it's a cliche, but don't go to bed angry. That means you have to know how to get yourself in a good mood. The secret, really and truly, to good quality connection with people is talk about everything. If you're angry when you go to bed, you need to take care of yourself. Take care of whatever is going on inside of you, but only on the contingency that you will talk about whatever the problem is. There's the topic, there's the issue, and there's the problem. Whenever you have something going on with someone, you have to agree to set up a time that you're both comfortable with, that you will both be completely vested in the interaction, and you will be committed emotionally to the cooperation of each other. If you know how to take care of yourself, then you can say, I have peace with myself while I sleep at night. It's going to be high quality rest. When you come together with that other person, you have standards that you've agreed to, mutually acceptable standards that are about both people winning. It's not about winning and losing. You both have to agree that, yeah, sometimes you're going to have to make a concession. Sometimes you're going to have to just surrender and say, okay, I'm going to let you have what you want. And it's the opposite of what I want. Because if you know that you're working with someone, you're going in the same direction. That is very, very important. And it will ultimately determine the success of the relationship and the activity, whatever it is that you're doing. The last question that I put this in the end because it's the funnest for me. And if I had started out in this, I never would have gotten to any of the other themes. How do you pick the right person for you in marriage? Okay. You know what? We can be very sexually attracted to people. Yeah. But you know what? That can't be the reason why you marry them. And it's probably not even the reason why you should get together. It's about compatibility. Marriage is a lifelong commitment. You need to be with someone that really does synchronize well with you. One of the best things about my business, about my practice, is I teach people the strength of their personality. Know your own personality. Learn that other person's personality. I use the Myers-Briggs type indicator system because I understand that a lot of people don't really get the words, the vocabulary, the terms, and they don't really understand functionality. But what I tell people is you need to have the progress in life with that person that comes from two people being different enough to do the things that need to be done. But you still have to have that cooperation of having things in common. There's a lot that you got to do all day, every day in life. And not everybody is going to want to do everything. So get together with someone who's going to be good at the things that you're bad at. And then get together with them about things that you agree on, your priorities, your values, and certain things about your personality. You need to have two letters that are the same, but be of different dispositions. So your disposition, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of that. If you want to know more about Myers-Briggs, if you want your personality, I'll give you a profile. I'll give it to you for a 50% discount, just if you say that you've heard it on this radio show. Different dispositions means that you're going to get different things in life done. But two of the same letters means you're going to be doing them at least for the same reason, if not in the same style. See, now that's what matters, compatibility. You need to know the other person well enough to be able to say, okay, yeah, I don't really like that. Can you do it for me? I'll give you a great example. I can't cook. You know what? I've tried, and I know my husband loves food, but I cut myself when I have to look at the knife and I burn things that, how? This wasn't even hot. So my husband, he'll watch me and he'll be like, you know what, honey, you are really cute. Can I help you out here? I say, yes. You know what? My husband, he cannot do numbers in his head. So I make sure that I double and triple check everything for our finances, even though he's the one who makes the final decision. I dot the I's and cross the T's in the paperwork. We have certain things that we just don't agree about, but the ones that matter are our spirituality, the way we manage time, and how we communicate in relationships. And when we have those differences, we know that it's good because we complement each other. Yeah, that good movie with a good actor, you complete me. No, you don't have to complete someone else because that means you're incomplete without them. When you complement someone, it means you are good at some things, they are good at other things. Two of the same letters of your personality, but two different dispositions are almost guaranteed to make you work well together all day, every day in life activities. Now, you know what? Honestly, one of the things that I think is most important to me in my relationships, professionally, with family, with friends, is understanding how and why people do what they do. Communication. Sometimes I just have to ask them, why are you doing that? And what do you want? They know that I can handle the truth. That's the other thing that I love about Jack Nicholson, that movie where he was screaming at Tom Cruise, you can't handle the truth. Can you handle the truth? And do you appreciate it when people are honest with you? Is there anything you want to know about relationships that you're just too afraid to ask? A lot of people are very afraid. But you know what? Usually, when you say to people things like, I'm sorry, and you're sincere from the heart, they're very willing to forgive you just because saying that you're sorry means you care about them. People are very willing to work with you. They actually want to work with you. Men want to be faithful to their wife. Yeah, another secret that I tell people, I stretch in front of my husband. I do. And sometimes I'm wearing things, some things I don't wear. Okay. Now, you know what? Here's the bottom line. Men are very simple creatures and they're very fun. If you keep your relationship fun and you keep your friendships and coworkers happy, you have a good time, you don't have to do inappropriate things. This is another thing I tell people. There are only two human experiences that give us four hormones that we get very addicted to: dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. Laughter is one of them. Do you know when we do drugs or when we have certain activities or we're performing certain acts? Yeah, we can get one or two of those. Very rarely do we get three. Never do we get all four, except when we laugh and when we have orgasm. That's why it's very important not to play around with people when we're having sexual activity. We are making them very, very vulnerable, and people can get very addicted to those hormones. Yeah, I always tell people if you laugh more, you don't have to masturbate. And honestly, yeah, when I was living in Phoenix for a couple of months trying to get set up, when I was staying in the shelters and my husband and I were 1,400 miles apart, we would laugh with each other. I would call him five, six, seven times a day because we knew that when we weren't physically together, we still had to have that emotional connection. I don't masturbate. He doesn't masturbate. And I know this because, first of all, it's against our religion. But second, because if you do genuinely need to have something instead of laughter, like an orgasm, men and women both can have wet dreams. I do. I have dreams where I haven't touched myself in any way. My thoughts and my feelings actually provided that relief to my body. You taking care of yourself in a high quality way means that when you come together with other people, what you're giving them is a high quality service or product or connection or communication. And they will be willing to wait for you if they know that what they're going to get for that sacrifice of their time, or maybe their energy or their attention, it's going to return to them tenfold in high quality. They don't need a large quantity. And you know what? Even this is the other secret that I tell people. Yeah, my husband came first. My kids, they could wait. If I was taking care of their father and he was taking care of me, they knew that when we came back together, we were a united front. We were both in a good mood. We both together gave them something that would have been so much better than right here, right now. I want it right now. I'm going to throw a fit. I would always say, no, you're going to love this. We'll be right back. My website has changed. It is now www.life-synergy-coaching.com. Go ahead and check it out. If you want to send me a message, my new email is life dot Wait a minute. No, yes. life.synergy.coaching.now@gmail.com. And I'll go ahead and put that up on my page on LinkedIn as well. You can go ahead and reach out to connect to me there. Thank you so much for listening to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona.